Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Transform Your Life podcast. This is episode 9, and I'm your host, Jason Heilman. And this week's topic is going to be finding your why. I have a special guest, Mike Peterson. He's the author of the book, Start Dreaming Again. And we met a few years back, and we have been re-communicating in our relationship over the past couple months, and it's been really good. So when we were meeting last time, I thought, Mike, you're going to be a great interviewee for the podcast. He agreed. And so I'm going to bring you part of that interview. I edited it down for some time because when I get together with Mike, we just start talking. It seems like the minutes fly by because we are very alike in the area of entrepreneurial mindset. And so you're going to hear a lot of that in this interview. So I think one of the things that he really hit on in the interview that I wanted to actually pull out for you before I play that for you was the issue and the topic of finding your why. And one of the things that I came to a realization on probably around 2012, toward the end of that year, was I had to redefine my why. And one of the things that I did through the course of a period of about 10 months was I really took time away from some things that I had been doing for a long time. And most of that was the ministry, traveling, doing music. I had just done a book tour, a national book tour, and spent 3 months traveling on the road, going all over the nation. We did over 50 events in 3 months. It was an incredible experience, an incredible time. But I came to the end of that feeling like it was interesting. I had accomplished an amazing goal, but I felt empty at the same time. And so what happened, what I realized as I went through the next few months was I realized that I need to redefine new goals, redefine a new updated why for my life. And what do we mean by defining your why? It's why you get up in the morning, why you do what you do. And if you're any level of entrepreneur, whether it's your 100% monetization in your life, or maybe just 10% right now, and it's a rising stream of income in your life, you have to have a why that's, and this is what Mike shares, is needs to be bigger than you, needs to be bigger than your own self-fulfillment. And so I think when we're younger and we're starting out in our teens, 20s, even 30s, sometimes we have to get to the place where we actually live out our dreams to the level where we feel that we've accomplished something for ourselves. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But at some certain point in life, that becomes not enough. You have to start living beyond yourself. And it's not that I didn't have a desire to bless other people when I was ministering in my 20s and in my 30s. And it was still there. But there was also this thing that I felt like I needed to apprehend my destiny, apprehend my calling in life, and get to a certain level of breakthrough to where I felt like I was living that out in a consistent way. And so going on the road and doing what I feel I was created to do in my zone of genius at that time, that was something that I accomplished. And so to just continue to do that, it seemed like it wouldn't be enough. And I had to spend a time of life searching for my next version of my zone of genius, my next version of goals and aspirations and dreams. And so what I feel like happened was I began to move out of the place of doing what I had done for myself and say, God, how can I work with others to help them fulfill their dreams, their destiny, their goals in life? And so we've been doing that. I've been doing that more so in the last probably 5 years than I did in the 15 years before. And I believe that this year, that aspiration and desire of mine to reach out to people that are listening to this podcast and listening to the things that we've been releasing over the last couple months, I believe that that is where we're heading in a whole nother level. And I'll be sharing more about that in coming episodes. But what I really feel in my heart is that I want to partner with people who are entrepreneurial minded, who really feel like they're called to bring something to the world, whether that be a creative project or a business idea, whether that be a missions trip or some kind of trip they want to host and take people to have an experience, whether that would be something in the realm of creativity in books, writing, or music, or just getting something creative out there. There's so many realms of creativity. Really, what I'm going after is how can I partner with people who need assistance, that need coaching, that need some kind of form of inspiration to help them to take one more step towards that. And that might just be for you listening to this podcast, listening to this interview, and just being inspired enough by what you're hearing to do that. Some of you, it might be where you actually need to reach out and have some interaction with someone like myself who can do for you what you're desiring to do because you see the track record of what I've been able to accomplish over the last 15 plus years, going out, traveling, interacting with people, taking leadership, taking teams, creating projects, raising funds, all these different things. I want to be able to help others do that. And so you're going to be hearing from me over the next few weeks more about those type of things and what God's been stirring within me over the last 3 months. There's some new things. And so without further ado, I'm going to bring this interview to you. This is an edited down version to around 30 minutes. I think we talked for over 40, so I wanted to cut it back a little bit. And we'll probably release the full interview in its entirety unedited as a separate download if any of you are interested to hear some of the tidbits that I had to cut out for the length for this episode. I will put that up there as soon as possible as well. So let's listen to this interview with Mike Peterson, author of Start Dreaming Again. Bless you and enjoy, everybody. Hey, everybody. This is Jason with the Transform Your Life podcast. I'm really excited to be here with a good friend, Mike Peterson, author of the book Start Dreaming Again. And the way that we met was on this ancient app called Periscope that's totally irrelevant now as far as I'm concerned, Mike. I don't know if you're still playing the ukulele on there, but I met Mike through this app, and I actually set a meeting, I think, with coffee with you a couple Starbucks. Years ago, and just been reconnecting here the last few months. So as we've been starting the podcast, I thought Mike, you'd be an awesome guest, and so Mike agreed. We're sitting here. Where are we? We're at Panera. Yeah. So if you hear weird noises in the background, apologize, but we're sitting here in this
chain
room.
Chain delis and coffee places.
Yeah. So we're just going to talk today about some issues relating to, this is some things you wrote in your book, but we kind of want to steer the direction to start with anyways on reasons why people don't actually succeed in doing more with their passion in their life. And so Mike, I'm just going to let you go, man, and we'll just continue to steer the conversation organically as we go, but we're just going to let you start, man.
Sure. Well, I mean, you know, one of the things that that's a problem these days is that we forget to even dream in the first place to make sure that to dream about what our success could be. We get it beaten out of us. You know, as a kid, we all have the same dream. We all wanted to be, you know, an astronaut and a movie star and a dinosaur hunter and a fighter pilot. And of course, we said dinosaur hunter because none of us could remember the word paleontologist, right?
Right.
We wanted to do all four of those things at the same time, and everyone said, oh, you can do anything you want. And then somewhere around high school, people started saying, you know, you really need to...
Why do they lie to us, Mike, when we're young and then you get to high school? Just kidding.
You're letting it be beaten out of you there. So that, you know, but the point is somebody around high school finally says, you need to start thinking realistically, right? And that thinking realistically is just some of the biggest damage that gets done to us. And it's not that this is said by everyone that loves us and wants us to do well. They don't say this because they're trying to hurt us. They're saying this because it's the best knowledge that they have. It's the best information that they have. They don't know anything more. And the reality is we're conditioned to believe that everything we know is true. We're conditioned to believe that you go work 40 hours a week for 40 plus years of your life to retire on 40% or less of what you couldn't live on in the first place. You know,
right.
We're conditioned to believe that working for somebody else is the way to get ahead. And the reality is that this is the information that they give us about work, but it's not just about work. This is the information this is the best information we have to be able to use it for every aspect of our lives. We expect that we need to find another source to give us these things that we want. And the reality is that something like, for instance, in a job, if a job could make you rich, your boss wouldn't hire you.
Right. That makes sense.
Right. Your boss pays you just enough to keep you from quitting, and you work just hard enough to not get fired.
Right.
Right?
No, Mike. No, not me. Yeah.
You're asking people to be too honest.
You've never slacked off at work? Yeah. I'm only asking you to be too honest, Jason. Come on. You've done this podcast for two months now.
As you're talking, I think people listening are maybe asking the question, what does this guy do? What do you do, Mike, as an entrepreneur? I mean, you're speaking to entrepreneurs, I know, but just speak to anyone that just has a passion to do something and – you know, just share some things that you're up to as far as just tell people about yourself a little more before we get into some of these other things.
Myself, I own four companies.
Okay.
I've got, because I own four companies, my goal on a daily basis is to do as little as possible because there's no way that I could work a full-time job on four different companies at the same time.
Right.
So the key in...
Well, the reason you own four is so you don't have to work 40 hours on four jobs.
Yeah, but most of the time people start a business, right? And they say, oh, good news, I get to own my own business now. And I have a boss who used to say the best part is, you know, my friends get jealous because I only have to work half days. And he says, my favorite part is no one cares which 12 hours it is.
Right.
You know, the reality is that most of the time when you open a business, the business owns you, right?
Right.
Most of the time when you decide that you want to try and explore a new ministry or you want to explore, you know, something that you want to volunteer with, or anytime you do something new, it kind of starts to take over your life. And so, I've got four companies, and they range in scope from, you know, mobile tactical laser tag, which I do work with, you know, everything from kids' birthday parties to the military. I have my books. I've got, you know, stuff with utilities. International deregulation of stuff, you know, and all sounds highbrow, right? But, you know, the reality is you just got to find a way to get paid, right?
Right.
So the thing is that it doesn't matter what you want to build, right? Whether it's just a business that, you know, you think you own the business, but really the business owns you, so now you have a job that owns you as opposed to a job that you can realistically quit easily, right? The bottom line is that it's all going to take a lot of work. It's all going to be the hardest thing you've ever done.
Right.
There is nothing harder than being your own boss and owning your own company. And if you think that being your own boss is easy, then you're probably not very successful at whatever you try to be as your own boss.
No one else to blame either.
There's no one to blame. When it doesn't happen, you can say it's the economy, it's the customers, it's the marketing. It doesn't really matter. Bottom line is that if it's your business, you're the one in charge, right? And it's not just... And, you know, Start Dreaming Again is specifically about, you know, developing these two secrets of that we were never taught, that our parents never taught us, which is, you know, leverage income and residual income. But the reality is, and so a lot of the times people think, oh, well, you know, I'm good with business or whatever else. But the reality is that leverage and residual are powerful because what they do is they disconnect the money that you earn from the time that you spend. The reality is that if you don't disconnect your time from your money, then you're never you're never going to have the ability to do everything that you want to do. If you have to generate $100 or $200 an hour of value for the market, what do you need? What does it take from you to be able to do that, right? Well, besides a good idea or a good system to follow, like I said before, this is going to be one of the hardest things you've ever had to do. The reality is we quit on ourselves constantly, right?
We quit on ourselves.
Absolutely, absolutely. How many friends, here, instead of asking you, Jason, you know, how many friends do you know that have said, this year,
right,
I'm going to lose weight.
Right.
This year, I'm going to make more money. This year, I'm going to get a better job.
Well, I mean, jumping in here, I think another way to say what you're saying, I think, is, and something I've experienced recently is, I knew what I was called to bring to the world, but I never sat down and figure out the value that I, even myself, would place on that. Because if you don't do that for yourself, if you don't write down, and I was actually listening to a different podcast today, and he was talking about writing out all the things on the table that you bring a value to the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be doing that soon and probably talking about that on a future episode, because in the past I would have thought that that was narcissistic to do instead of realizing, hey, this is me just writing down the things that I've discovered that my creator has created me.
And you may realize that you are capable of providing $100 to $200
You can't ask people to invest monetary value into you if you don't yourself believe in or even haven't really defined in a concise way the value you're bringing. You might know in some ethereal way. And that's kind of what I kind of knew. I was like, well, when I do my thing, good things happen. So that should be good enough for you to invest financially back to me. And that's not how it works.
Well, and if somebody's listening to this podcast and they don't feel,
oh, they are.
Well, I'm not saying that they're not. I'm saying
I'm just
if somebody is listening to this podcast and they don't feel like they are called to do something bigger, like they got a bigger purpose, then they should go back to the start of the podcast on episode one because that's the bottom line, right? But the thing is that once you establish what these things are, and maybe writing that list out gives you the ideas of what you need to do to earn that money. But the thing is that once you start to do it, what you find is that everything you do is uncomfortable. Because if everything that would get you to 100 or 200 bucks an hour was inside your comfort zone, you'd already be doing it.
Right. That's so good.
It's all going to be new, and it's all going to be really, really hard. Success is never a convenience and always lies outside your comfort zone.
That's good.
So the question is, when you have to step outside your comfort zone and you have to stay there, and not only stay there, but when you have to start delighting in your lack of comfort in that area, what's going to keep you going? And the thing is that it can't be you, and it can't be what you want, because people quit on themselves and they keep smoking anyhow, or they don't lose the weight they wanted to, or they get back and eat and then they gain the weight back that they...
Well, I got a couple of years ago to a point where I felt actually really successful and satisfied for myself, and I said, God, what do I do now? I mean,
right.
And it really began to stir in me more. It's about others, and I was doing this for others, obviously, but it became a transition from me fulfilling my dreams to helping me fulfill the dreams of others. And that's what I feel like the rest of my life is going to be
devoted to. Absolutely. And you're hitting on it exactly, which is that when it comes down to figuring out what's going to carry you through all of that discomfort, you have to find a why that is so much bigger than yourself. Sometimes they say, if your why doesn't make you cry, it's not big enough. See, the thing is that once your why is big enough, the how doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And so the thing that we forget is, or that we've never been taught even, right? We get told, oh, well, people will tell you that you're good and that will show you that you've got your value, right? People will pay you, and because they pay you, it shows that you have a certain amount of value.
So I think what you're wanting to shout from the rooftops is that your why needs to be bigger than paying your bills and making it through.
And it needs to be bigger than you in
general. And I think that's really my passion right now. One of my things is to just give people time to get away from their noisy life long enough to actually get in the dream, like one of my friends says, the dream stream, and actually start believing and seeing and perceiving that there is a bigger why for your life. I mean, so
absolutely.
I kind of wanted to steer it. I mean, I've never really much asked you this personally. It's like, did you have a series of moments or one large moment in your life where all of this kind of shifted for you? And or have you always kind of been this entrepreneurial mindset type guy?
I've always been a little bit entrepreneurial because my parents trained me that I needed to own a company. Right?
Okay. And see, that's a huge part of
that is a big part. And that got me started. In fact, I started my first company.
Did your dad give you a small loan of $1 million? I'm just messing around.
He did. I did end up with him as a partial investor for part of my first business, but he wasn't the only one, and he wasn't the first one that I got.
Yeah.
I got other investors first, but they'd always said you needed to own a business. Well, you know what they didn't know, and they couldn't teach me, was that if you have the wrong business, the business owns you, not that you own the business, right? And so it was what really started turning things around, in fact, caused me to write Start Dreaming Again, was that I eventually started just buying coffee and asking people questions that were more successful than me. What did it take?
Is that why you met with me, Mike? Just kidding.
So these people were making six figures a month.
He just doesn't even answer the question. I love you. So they're making six figures.
Right.
That's genius.
So here's guys that are making six figures and more a month. And I'm going, what did it take for you to become successful? why is it that you can go play golf in the middle of the week when everyone else is working in the office, right?
Right.
How come we drive by and see you on the lake as we're going to the office? What's the deal? And it was these two secrets of leverage and residual income. But these were the two secrets that the rich do teach their kids, and regular folks like you and I, our parents just don't know these things to teach it to us. But it was exploring those details of what does it take and what is it and how does it, what do you qualify as one or the other? Because there is a major difference between just leverage or just residual. But it was exploring all this that really came down to the fact that the biggest thing that keeps people from succeeding is that they lose their why. And their dreams wither on the vine and become crusty and dead because they can't feed that why or that dream past the discomfort, you know?
I might burst in people's bubble by saying this, but if your why is just to make money or a lot of money, that is so unsustainable. I was actually listening to Tim Ferriss today.
Sure.
And he even said that in talking about the space of podcasting, blogging, writing, different things. He says if you're not passionate about those things and your goal is only money, you're going to get burned out. And those who are passionate about it are going to destroy you.
No, it's absolutely true.
So it's like, you know, obviously laser tag is something that you actually enjoyed, or else you wouldn't be doing a business.
In fact, one of the biggest challenges for the industry has is that no one has a good method for hiring managers to be able to run multiple locations very easily. Mm-hmm. The problem is that you know good managers are passionate about the activity, and most of those that are passionate about the activity are more likely to open their own place.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's one of those challenges. The reality is that unless you're passionate about what you're doing, if you're passionate enough about what you're doing, it doesn't matter how much you're getting paid. And if you're not passionate enough, it doesn't matter how much you're getting paid.
Yeah.
Because your why has to just get so much bigger. And the bigger your why gets, it doesn't matter how much you're working.
No, that's so true. I mean, and you listened, I know, to that episode we did about the zone mm-hmm. of genius and how when you're doing, quote, work in that zone, it flies by. It doesn't even feel like you did anything. And the goal, you know, should be for more of us to get in that realm as far as monetizing it. And so I kind of want to shift to...
Actually, let me talk about the zone real quick here, too. Because there's an important thing there, too, that sometimes gets people really discouraged.
Yeah.
Which is that you may know where your zone of genius is. And you may absolutely be right in it. And then things start to just feel off. And what you really need to ask yourself is, did my zone shift? Did my why change? Because the reality is, your why is going to change.
Yeah.
And as your why changes, you may need to refocus on what your why is to be able to re-engage into that zone of genius. And it may also be that your zone of genius has shifted.
Well, you know, I would even go as far as say that your zone of genius can mature.
Sure.
And that it can actually expand, because I've experienced that in the last 3 months where I actually, in the first quarter, I've reached every goal I set January first weekend. I've reached every goal I set then in 3 months.
Oh, wow.
And so it's progressive, obviously. So now I'm having to go back to dreaming again, literally, for the next phase. And that's a good problem.
It's not
really a problem, but just a good. But that's what I've had issues with in the past is I tend to celebrate and I tend to too long. Uh-huh. I like to revel a little bit too long, and I need to be more consistent in going to the next phase and doing that. But what I was going to do is shift to, you know, thinking about those that are listening.
Yeah.
Who they're listening to you and they love this concept. I want to dream again, but I'm in this phase right now where I'm at the 9 to 5. I'm in the 40, because obviously we're talking about this week about the realm of future and your calling in business. And
absolutely,
you know, so how would you encourage people right now that they want to take the next step towards some of the things, some of the passions and that you're talking about? One of the books I listened to this year was just talking about how to monetize your passion, because as a musician as an artist, just specifically, that's been an up and down struggle for me, and I feel like I've made huge steps the last 6 months in my mindset in this.
Sure.
But what I'm saying is, how do you get people to actually believe? Because I think a lot of people, they think, well, I know what my zone of genius might be or my passions might be, but how do I transition, start taking steps to monetize it and actually begin making, you know, because part-time living, you can't just quit your day job usually.
Right. Not so, at first, usually.
That was a question, a big encompassing question, but I think you know.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So there's, I've got good news. The only thing that's stopping you from being where you want to be is you. I've got some really bad news. The only thing stopping you from being where you want to be is you.
Right.
So the key is who you are right now and where you are in your life is the best you've ever known how to do. The best thinking you know how to do has gotten you to exactly where you are. Who you are and how you know how to think will not take you any farther. So the first thing that you need to do, whether you want to monetize a hobby, whether you've got a skill or a talent that you've been just waiting to show the world, the first thing you need to do is learn how to think differently. Now, in this vein, and it doesn't matter whether this is because of ministry or money or whatever. It doesn't matter. Where you are is the best you know how to be. So the first thing that you need to do is to put different things in your head and allow yourself to think in a different way than you've ever thought before. So what I would do then is I would start by recommending all of the classics. See, the idea of yourself being the obstacle isn't new. This is hundreds and thousands of years old. And it's been studied and talked about and written about over and over and over. It just so happens that the number one book on the topic was written back about 1930, called right. Think and Grow Rich.
So you're just basically boiling it down to get your hands on some
get your
of these
hands
classic
on stuff.
Books.
Think and Grow Rich, How to Win Friends and Influence People. Those two, more than anything else, I don't know anyone who's a millionaire that hasn't read Think and Grow Rich at least 7 times. The Richest Man in Babylon is one that you absolutely need to read, especially if you're starting by working part-time. Richest Man in Babylon is that you can look online, you'll find it free, at least in a PDF, if nothing else. It was a book on how to, actually it started out as pamphlets in a bank, on how to take the money that you've got wow. and turn it into a riches that you can use to invest. And what does investing look like? Because they define investing differently than we do now. Nowadays, we say an investment is the stock market, or we say an investment is helping somebody else with their business, which could be, but the reality is that The Richest Man in Babylon tells you what are the criteria that you should be using. All three of these books are decades old. These three books were all written before the 1940s. Once you've really started to digest those, my recommendation is find somebody in the same industry or somebody who's done something that's very similar. You need a mentor. And the reason that you need a mentor is that somebody else has already made the mistakes. And if you can avoid making the same mistakes, you should do that.
Well, this that you just brought up, part two, after reading the books, was I was actually gonna say that as well, and then you got into it as far as find someone who's doing what you want to do and hang out with those people. And in my experience, not even 9 times out of 10, almost every single time I've asked somebody that, they've been up for some level of that. And you know, we've talked on the show about what my wife's doing, and you know about the mm-hmm. Young Living, but that's what that company is all about, is and the what is called the upline or the mentors that my wife has been in relationship with. I've watched over the last 6-8 months her go. She just broke through the whole nother realm of finance, and it's largely because of her humility to embrace mm-hmm. that she would rather fast track by humility and relationship than say, well, I know how to do this. And to be honest, if there's any of you listening to this that might be involved in this, there's a few people that even in her team that have come in under her umbrella, they haven't been as open to that process and were not seeing them really accelerate. And it's like I want to kind of shake them a little and say, hey, do what we've done because it's working. Do you see this? And this is how this works. But that's huge. So speak for just a couple more minutes about getting around those people, and then we're going to start closing out here.
Yeah, sure. So, you know, you're going to run into – when you're following your dreams and you're looking for this success, you're going to run into a lot of people that are naysayers or haters. A lot of the times, these toxic dream stealers, sometimes you call them, you know, kind of a little tongue-in-cheek, these toxic dream stealers are usually the people closest to you. And there's two reasons for that. One is that they don't know any better either. And all of the work and all of the effort you're putting in and all the things you're learning from, they haven't benefited from that. So they don't have the context. Another one is that people tend to be kind of like crabs. So if you put crabs in a bucket, you know, there was a millionaire that I was talking to. And he was telling me a story one time. He had a big crab boil in his at his place. And he comes by, the chef is setting up, and they got this big, wide, shallow pot, and there's all these crabs inside. He says, oh, you better put a lid on that. And the guy said, no, it's not a problem because they're crabs. He says, what are you talking about? He says, well, crabs, when they see another crab swimming up, they will actually grab that crab and pull him back down. And if the crab keeps trying to swim up, they will actually reach up and snip the legs off of the crab. Your friends and everyone that you know want you to do better, but they don't want you to do too much better. And the reason for that isn't because they're mean at heart. It's because it's called cognitive dissonance. We get really uncomfortable inside when we see something happen that we don't think should happen or should be possible. You have to get around people who will sue you every day, who will support, uplift, and encourage you every day.
Support, uplift, encourage. Okay, gotcha.
So look for people who will sue you. And the reality is that you will end up being the average of the five people that you hang around most. So if you want to be happier, you need to put more happy people in your circle. If you want to be richer, you really need to put more rich people in your circle. The fundamental reality is that you should never take advice from anyone whose lifestyle you don't want to live. If you take somebody's opinion as a reason to do something or to not do something, then you are buying in to what their level of success in that area is. You know, I don't take advice from areas that they're not an expert in.
Well, I mean, this year, one of my goals was to just put all my relationships on the table. And I've been pursuing some new relationships. This is a compliment to you.
I appreciate that.
In that I've reinstigated our relationship. And because I believe in that principle you shared about the five people. And so as an introvert and a guy who likes to be alone a lot, that's if you just look around and you're the only one too often. No, you need to get in relationships. But I've seen, you know, you don't want to be in all these relationships and look around the room and think there's no one I'm really looking up to.
And you're also,
and that kind of happens through life. It's like you go to a certain level. And would I be wrong to say that there are seasons in our life where we actually need to prune in our relationships?
No, absolutely. And
add new.
When you prune somebody, it doesn't mean that you don't care for them.
Right.
It doesn't mean that if they call you up in the middle of the night that you aren't going to be willing to go out and drive over and whatever they need. You know, it doesn't mean that you aren't willing to hang out with them. Jim Rohn, the foremost business philosopher of our time, says there are people that you can spend 3 minutes with or 3 hours or 3 days with, but you don't spend more than that amount of time that you can spend with them.
Right.
And you can love on somebody from a distance if you need to be spending more time with somebody else whose opinions you need more in your life, or whose success you need more, or whose, you know, whatever, their outlook that you need
as
more.
I hang out with these guys that I've developed new relationships with that I'm looking up to, my mentality with them is, what can I do to serve you? What can I buy your drink? It's like I want to be able to not just let it be one-sided, but at the same time, sometimes I'm thinking, what value am I really bringing to the table? And it's like whatever I can do to bring that. But sometimes I just really honest with these guys and saying, hey, I want to take my game to the next level. And I think that honors them to the point where they feel like, wow, I'm going to share with this guy just because he's honoring me.
You know, I'll tell you.
Honor goes a long way, man.
Well, and, you know, a lot of the times we think that somebody who's more successful than us is out of reach. And you know what?
It's true.
I've had the most amazing conversations with people who are more successful than me, and I called them up, or I walked into their office, or I ran into them, you know, on purpose somewhere, and I said, "Hey, look, I am a student of success.
That's good.
You have what I want. I'd like to take you to dinner, to lunch, to coffee. I will buy.
That's right.
And I will ask questions. I'm not trying to sell anything, but all I want to do is take a lot of notes and keep you talking."
Right.
And you know what? They're open to that.
And I think sometimes those guys would actually, some of them actually have said to me, it's like, wow, no, actually this doesn't happen to me very often because so many people think I'm not touchable or approachable. They don't even try. It's like, so you might be surprised, you guys, if you're listening and there's somebody that you really want to look up to and be in touch with, like, hey, the least they can, the worst they can say is no.
Well, you're probably also going to be surprised with what value you actually do provide to
them.
The reality is that your perspective is different than theirs.
That's
and
good.
That is a big part of why their level of success is different than yours.
Well, there's a limiting belief right there I need to work on, is thinking, well, only this is only going to be a one-sided relationship, you know? And so, man, I just want to say thanks. I have to cut off this episode.
That's my pleasure.
Because we could keep going, you guys. So I'm considering Mike as a co-host, actually. But I haven't talked to him about it at all. Yeah, thus his awkward laugh just now.
All right, then.
No, but hey, we're going to have Mike back on eventually again soon because we got so much more to share. The last thing I want to do in just a minute or so, just share with us about your book and your website and where we can find more about you.
Sure. So Start Dreaming Again is available in Kindle and print versions on Amazon and a couple other places. If you go to startdreamingagainbook.com, you can find it. That book part is really important. It's startdreamingagainbook.com. If you reach out to me through there, then you know I can even try and get you a signed copy. And it'll be available on audiobook format before too long as well.
Thanks again, Mike. And we'll talk to you guys soon. And look for Mike's book on Amazon, Start Dreaming Again. Mike Peterson, spelled with a T, P-E-T-E-R-S-O-N. All right, bless you guys.